Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Allen Derry, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans.
Hi, my name is Doc Griggs, and I'm a community medicine doctor and health literacy expert. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health literacy and communications expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know about COVID-19.
You can find more information about this show and our other daily live updates and Q&A show at noisefiltershow.com.
So let's get started.
So welcome to COVID Noise Filter. My name is Dr. Mark Allen Derry, and we are so happy to have guest co-hosting with us, Nurse Julia. Welcome to the show, Nurse Julia.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be coming on board with you guys.
Thank you so much. And now on to the show.
The failings of public health messaging.
Oh boy, this is one that we definitely need to hear about. So can't wait.
The pandemic has thrust the field of public health into the limelight as governmental health organizations try to enact guidelines to contain COVID. According to The Atlantic, however, there have been some major failings of public health messaging throughout the pandemic.
Oh boy, has there been. In fact, one of the most significant issues in the pandemic response is a lack of trust in the public from experts. Initially, at the beginning of the pandemic, some experts were concerned that safety measures like masks and rapid tests would lure the public into a false sense of security, causing them to take risks that would undermine those precautions. However, much of the data communicates that this would not have been the case. In fact, according to the National Academy of Sciences, wearing masks tends to demonstrate adherence to other safety measures as well. And there was a study out of Germany that actually showed that very elegantly as well. So it's nice to see that the NAS, National Academy of Sciences, also showed that.
Lots of the messaging to the public was focused on providing behavioral guidelines, which may not have been as effective or empowering as education. If the CDC and WHO had supplied more resources to fully explain the nature of transmission, the public might have had a less fixed impression of the virus and adapted more easily to changing guidelines.
Among experts and the public, there has been a culture of shaming those who are perceived as reckless. Ugh. Now, this behavior is ineffective for preventing unsafe actions. I would agree with that, and makes it seem as though more people are resistant to precautions like mask mandates. This has also reinforced absolutism in safety measures as opposed to focusing on harm reduction, which is more effective and palatable for the public.
According to The Atlantic, pandemic response failed to balance certainty and action. There was overemphasis on waiting to act until evidence was certain for many efforts to reduce airborne transmission, while the public raced to reduce surface transmission, which there was little evidence to support.
Yeah, you know, I 100% agree. I think that one of the things that we learned from the pandemic more than anything else, Nurse Julia, and I would love to hear your response on this, is that what we don't learn in medical school or nursing school or what have you is how to effectively communicate to the public. And I think moving forward, that really should be criteria in medical school, in nursing school, in all health allied health schools should also have courses on how to effectively communicate to the public and understand what basic communication skills are in the event that we are asked to speak directly to the public. At least there will be something for us to fall back on. What are your thoughts on that?
Actually, I couldn't agree more. I think in school, lots of the efforts are geared towards teaching. You know, so many of my colleagues have made the comment that, you know, we learned about the pandemic in school. Never did we ever think that we would see one. And I think there is a notion that, hey, we're going to learn about these things with the hope that science and medicine will carry us through and it won't be something that we'll actually experience. So to your point, there's not really been a lot of prepping of being, you know, able to communicate in the event that that doesn't happen. And as someone who's kind of in the media space, it's just very interesting to see because lots of doctors have kind of been thrown into that light to try and debunk misinformation. So it's just very interesting to see how it all has played out. But going forward, yes, I think not only for healthcare professionals but also, you know, leaders in the community, there should be some coursework there to be completed as well.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I hope that we will see a field of study emanate from the public health world or the scientific world or what have you, that specifically will show physicians or nurses or healthcare workers who are tasked to communicate with the public what the best practices are. So, you know, as somebody like yourself, Nurse Julia, myself, who are in the media and who are tasked with speaking to the public, I often found myself, well, just telling just the science, like you were implying a moment ago, the science will speak for itself. And stunningly, what we found is that it actually didn't. And so there has to be best practices right. for us to lean on. And I think this will be an evolving story.
Twitter cracks down on vaccine misinformation. Social media platforms have realized the danger of allowing misinformation to flourish and spread about a public health crisis like the coronavirus pandemic. They have all banned people from posting disparaging and/or incorrect comments about COVID-19 out of concern it might create vaccine hesitancy. Twitter has since stepped their game up.
You know, according to Vox, any post that Twitter considers to be harmful misinformation will be subject to labels directing people to content curated by Twitter, public health resources, or the company's rules. Now, at the same time, users who continue to post such tweets will be subject to a strike policy. If a user posts too much vaccine misinformation and gets 5 strikes, their account could be permanently cut from the app. Twitter posted this statement on their blog. Through the use of the strike system, we hope to educate people on why certain content breaks our rules so they have the opportunity to further consider their behavior and their impact on public conversation.
Twitter announced it will be employing other strategies as well. The company is developing a new tool called Birdwatch that's designed to crowdsource expertise and beat back false narratives while also trying to evaluate authoritative voices like Anthony Fauci's to speak on vaccine-related issues.
That's right. In fact, let me ask you, did they think that they called it Birdwatch so they can watch out for tweets?
I think so. That makes perfect sense.
Thank you for allowing me to make that joke. That is thank you for laughing at my dumb joke. Anyway, it is also working with the White House to clamp down on vaccine misinformation. Last year, the company said it removed 8,493 tweets and challenged 11.5 million accounts that posted coronavirus misinformation. So Twitter started to apply labels to COVID-19 claims that it believed misleading, but not drastic enough for removal.
It's uncertain if Twitter's new strategies will help to curb the misinformation and mistrust surrounding the coronavirus and vaccines, but the company's actions should be commended. Getting rid of accounts that spread false and harmful information could end up saving someone's life.
That's right. And while I do truly believe in the First Amendment, I do believe that just as it is illegal to scream fire in a crowded theater, I think some of these misinformation posts are the digital or social media equivalent of yelling fire in a theater house.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't help but wonder how they come up with the 5-strike system. Why not 3? Right. You know, like,
It's a great point.
I'm just curious about how they got to their strike system, but hey. Yeah,
absolutely. Just as a reminder that COVID-19 and the human immunodeficiency virus do share the same risk factors. Doc Griggs?
Thanks for listening to the Noise Filter Daily Podcast. Dr. Derry and I have a daily show at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time where we go into more detail on stories and answer your questions about COVID-19.
You can find Doc Griggs at DocGriggs1 on social media, and you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at DRDERY. You can follow us at Noise Filter on Instagram, Noise Filter NOLA on Twitter, and for more information about us and the show, you can go to NoiseFilterShow.com. Hey, Doc Griggs, any last words?
Remember, get checked, get fit, get moving, and remember to get some rest to boost your immune system. And Doc?
Protect yourself and others by staying home, and please wear masks when you go outside. Remember, health is a human right.